Hi, this is Steve Rath. This week on Folk Festival USA, we'll do some reminiscing. In 1972, Michael Cooney played straight man for his favorite songwriter in a concert before the Pickin' and Singin' Gathering in Albany, New York. Join us for this concert of seldom heard songs presented by the author's favorite fan, Michael Cooney, and the author herself, the late Malvina Reynolds.
Be sure to join us tonight at 10:30 right here on listener-supported WUHY-FM, Philadelphia.
That the food is terrible.
Good afternoon and Happy New Year. My name's Terry Gross and this is Fresh Air. We open Fresh Air today with Duke Ellington and his orchestra, a recording of In a Mellow Tone. Well, Happy New Year! Today, to bring in 1979, we're having a New Year's Day party with the Asparagus Valley Cultural Society, and they'll all be here for the next 3 hours. Teller the Magician, formerly a Latin teacher, he now does astounding feats of magic like the Indian Needle Mystery, in which he swallows 100 needles, then swallows an arm length of thread, and brings up the needles threaded. Penn Gillette is here, a graduate of the Barnum & Bailey Ringling Brothers Clown College. Penn is an accomplished juggler. The first time I saw him, he threw a black velvet bag over my head and juggled knives in front of me while he ate an apple. Weir Krismer is the composer, musicologist, and scholar of the group. He arranges his original music and the music of the masters for xylophone, electric guitar, and voices, and other combinations. Mark Garland, their technician, is here to make sure they each remain plugged into the appropriate places. Electric guitarist Gary Anderson is here to accompany Penn and Weir a little later in a performance. So today, to bring in the new year, the Asparagus Valley have brought some of their favorite records and some of the most tasteless samples from their record collections. They have memorized some ridiculous stories and jokes, which we'll let them tell a little later. And we'll hear some of Weir's original music. And Teller will perform some magic tricks that you won't be able to see. And Penn has committed to memory a list of every movie that he has seen during 1978. And at about 3 o'clock, we'll be daring you to call us up on the studio telephone and name a film that you've seen during 1978 that he hasn't, as long as it isn't an X or a G. And also, you'll be able a little later to call in and play 20 questions with Penn Jillette. The last time the Asparagus Valley Cultural Society was here was about 3 weeks ago, I guess, right after a whole bunch of their equipment got ripped off from their van, so they were doing a big benefit at the Walnut Street Theater. Well, the benefit went well, so they're going to go through with their run as originally scheduled, about a three-week run, I think it is, that starts tomorrow night at the Stage 5 of the Walnut Street Theater. So, Happy New Year, everybody. Well, everyone who knows Weir or who has heard him before on the show knows that in addition to being a composer and musicologist and all this, he's also the founder of a very important society, the Atmar Shek Society for the Preservation of Unusual and Disgusting Music. Now, ever since I found out about the existence of this group about 3 years ago, I've very much wanted to hear some of the original music of Atmar Shek, and I'm very pleased to say that today I and all of you will be able to share in the experience of listening to some Atmar Shek.
I have brought a recording of Dietrich Fischer-Dieskau with an unknown pickup ensemble doing a performance of Scheck's Lebendig Begraben, or Buried Alive. This is one of the most famous of Scheck's works. People have come up to me and said, I really doubt whether Atmar Shek is a real person, whether he's just a fantasy of your imagination. This recording won't do anything to allay those doubts, but I'd like to play it for you anyway. Scheck's Lebendig Begraben.
Wie poltertes, abscheuliches Geröll von Schutt und Erde, wudernden Gebeinen. Ich kann nicht lachen und kann auch nicht weinen. Doch nimmt mich Wunder, wie das enden soll. Nun wird es still. Sie trollen sich nach Haus und lassen mich hier 7 Fuß
We won't go on with that because it does go on like that. As you can tell, I'm very interested in classical music, and we perform exclusively classical music in our Asparagus show. But Penn has a great affection for, what is it, pop music, right?
Popular
music. And he told me that people would in our audience would appreciate more pop music in our show. Well, as the musician of the Asparagus Valley, I said, maybe Penn has a point. Well, we'll see. So I turned on the radio about a couple weeks ago, listened to a couple rock stations, and heard one tune in particular that struck my fancy. What particularly impressed me about this popular tune was that the style of its singing was really different, really avant-garde. And as a little experiment today, we're going to be presenting that. Penn and myself will be singing, and Gary Anderson will be playing electric guitar. And, okay. We're ready. Are you all set, Penn?
I'm all set.
Okay.
Pleased to see that you're becoming a little more open-minded in your approach to
music.
Well,
it's not really much of a deviation from what I've always been doing. As you know, Schoenberg and Berg and Webern used Sprechstimme, and this is very much sort of singing approximate to the pitch.
Well, you know, there's a certain, you know, some people say that pop music really is animalistic, and I see that you really would probably agree with that approach to it.
Yeah.
But let me ask you, when you're... When you're rehearsing something as, you know, vocally complex as that, you know, how do you practice to
well,
make sure you'll be able
to do the
performance?
Well, we do have a voice coach with whom we study. It comes into our house every week, and we do arpeggios.
Right. I worked mostly with we. I was the one doing lead, more or less lead vocals.
You did.
It's hard. It's very hard to find the pitch in that. Mm-hmm. We had a vocal. Mark, our technician, was helping me try to keep on pitch. It's very hard to tell on the woof, woof, where exactly that woof pitch is. You know,
Gary. Kind of well, Gary is off mic right now, but I really have to compliment you on your splendid guitar playing on that. I know that the pop idiom is much closer to your heart than it is to, for instance, to Weir's. Okay. Well, we have some more. This time, this next record is on disc, not an original creation. And, Penn, this one comes from your collection. Why don't you tell us a little bit about what we're going to hear next?
In 1967, some of you probably remember the Senator Bobby's Boston Soul version of Wild Thing, which was a person doing the voice of Bobby Kennedy doing Wild Thing. It was a hit and climbed up the charts. And most people bought the 45. After the 45 did well, they put together an album, which was called Boston Soul, and has essentially the cover of Rubber Soul with Lyndon Johnson, Everett Dirksen, and Bobby Kennedy and Bob Dylan on the cover. Now, this is the odd thing. It was done by Chip Taylor, who many people will remember from working with the Monkees. He was the producer there. And what they have done is they have taken Bob Dylan, or as it's called here, Bobby the Poet, so they don't get lawsuits, and had him do White Christmas. So this is... from the album That Nobody Has by the Hardly Worth It Players, Chip Taylor and Dennis Worley, from Boston Soul, the same album with Wild Thing on it, White Christmas with Bobby the Poet.
Senator, we're trying to make contact with the students. Do you have any ideas here?
Well, I was thinking maybe something in the folk bag.
The folk bag?
Yes.
Do you have anybody in mind?
Well, I was given suggestions like maybe Protest Phil, but his songs are much too long. Uh-huh. And someone else said maybe the girl from California with the long hair and the high-pitched voice.
Right.
Yes, but she has problems with the taxes.
Well, we knew you were having a little trouble, so I think we've come up with somebody who's just perfect, Senator. I think you're going to like him. He's called Bobby the Poet.
Oh, well, anyone with the name Bobby can't be all that bad. Christmas, is he putting me on?
Just like the ones I used to know.
He refuses to compromise, Senator.
Where the treetops glisten and children glisten.
He talks funny.
To hear sleigh bells in the snow.
Flurries all over the Upper Lake region and the Northern Rockies. The rest of the country will have clear to partly cloudy skies with warmer weather in the Lake region, the Ohio and Tennessee valleys, the Gulf Coast, Mississippi Valley, the Great Basin, and of course Miami Beach. It will be colder over the Central Plains states and the Rockies. Here are some temperatures around the country. Philadelphia 35, Boston 47, Chicago 38, Cleveland 42, Los Angeles, 75 with smog. New York, 40 with smog. Miami, 23. Seattle, 60. El Paso, 51. Nashville, 64. No weather today in Moscow. And in Greenwich Village, the temperature is 98.6.
That was the Hardly Worth It Players. It's one of my favorite albums.
Did you describe the cover to that record at
Yes,
all?
It's a parody of Rubber Soul, I said. It's called Boston Soul, the album is called. And if you can get it, I think it's a collector's item now. I had to work for a long time to get this.
You know, I bet you hardly play it because that's in really good condition. I mean, if you listen to it every day, Pan, it would look just a little more beat up than that.
I taped it on cassette, and I play that every day so that the album stays in good condition for your engineers to mess up.
Okay, well, I think we have something a little more sophisticated coming up.
Yes, the only thing that the three members of the Asparagus Valley Cultural Society have in common is a liking for an English pair of singers, one of whom is now deceased, a singer and a pianist, Michael Flanders and Donald Swann. And in honor of such tippling as was done last night, the song is called Madeira, Madeira.
She was young, she was pure, she was new, she was nice, she was fair, she was sweet, 17. He was old, he was violent, no stranger to vice. He was base, he was bad, he was mean. He had slyly inveigled her up to his flat to view his collection of stamps. And he said, as he hastened to put out the cat, the wine, his cigar, and the lamps, "Have some Madeira, my dear. You really have nothing to fear. I'm not trying to tempt you, that wouldn't be right. You shouldn't drink spirits at this time of night. Have some Madeira, Madeira. It's a very much nicer than beer. I don't care for sherry, one cannot drink stout. And port is a wine I can well do without. It's simply a case of shackle and ass on gout. Have some Madeira, Madeira." Unaware of the wiles of the snake in the grass, of the fate of the maiden who topes, she lowered her standards by raising her glass, her courage, her eyes, and his hopes. She sipped it, she drank it, she drained it, she did. He quietly refilled it again. And he said, as he secretly carved one more notch on the butt of his gold-handled cane, "Have some Madeira, Madeira. I've got a small cask of it here. And once it's been opened, you know it won't keep. Do finish it up. It will help you to sleep. Have some Madeira, Madeira. It's a really an excellent year. Now, if it were gin, you'd be wrong to say yes. The evil gin does would be hard to assess. Besides, it's inclined to affect my prowess. Have some Madeira, Madeira." Then there flashed through her mind what her mother had said with her antepenultimate breath. "Oh, my child, should you look on the wine when 'tis red, be prepared for a fate worse than death." She let go her glass with a shrill little cry. Crash, tinkle, it fell to the floor. When he asked what in heaven, she made no reply, up her mind and a dash for the door. "Have some Madeira, Madeira," rang out down the hall, loud and clear, a tremulous cry that was filled with despair as she paused to take breath in the cool midnight air. "Have some Madeira, Madeira," the words seemed to ring in her ear. Until the next morning, she woke up in bed with a smile on her lips and an ache in her head, and a beard in her ear all that tickled and said, "Have some Madeira, Madeira."
That was Madeira, Madeira by Flanders and Swann. And that's a very easy album to get and very accessible, so I'd like to move on to something quite special. Now, because of the inadequacies of this radio station, that is to say you're broadcasting in stereo, and the next record I have was made CD4 quadridisc. It's a quadraphonic record. So if any of you and neighbors have maybe two stereos you can pull together into the living room in the next 10, 15 minutes, you might be able to catch the end of this. This album is called Last Train to Waterloo, The Reader Railroad, The Possum Trot Line. Now what this is, and you're not going to believe me, but it's true, is this is actual tapes of seven different kinds of engines coming into a train station, blowing their whistles, and going back out of the train station. I'm going to play you a cut called Track 4. It's called Another Yard Scene, number 108 occupying the main against number 1702. Who won? We're afraid to look, is the notes on this. And the cover was done by T.W.M. Long, and it is a beautiful one. It's a picture of a little possum, and it says Reeder Railroad across the top. And we have a little bit of Last Train to Waterloo. I've just been told by the engineer that this is in mono over the air. We've got it in quadraphonic in here, and it sounds like we're in the engine. You have to be kind of patient because it's in the background. Are we keeping this going in the background? We are, right? Good. Well, we'll hear a few whistles coming in, and I've had requests from several people to tell a story that happened to me. I went to Clown College, which is in Florida. It's run by Ringling Brothers Barnum & Bailey. It's where I learned to smear gunk on my face and fall down. While they were doing this, they set up a lot of stuff to teach you what was funny, and this struck me hysterically. So I'm going to give you a little bit of background to explain to you a gag that I wrote for the Ringling Brothers show that they didn't accept. One of the first things you need in any clown piece is characterization. There should be at least two characters. There should be a white face, which is the standard clown with all the white makeup and very soft features, to do the straight man, essentially. He's the authority figure, the control figure. And then the other kind of character is called the Auguste clown, and that's the face with several blotches of color. It's the big red mouth, very grotesque features. And he's the fall guy, the one that always takes the fall. Now, once you've got these two characters, for any good gag in the ring, you need a setup. You need some sort of introduction so people know what's going to happen. You need stupidity. Now, this is important that one of the characters demonstrate incredible stupidity. You need trickery. In other words, one of the clowns, usually the stupid one, has to be tricked by the other one. You need surprise. This is surprise not for the clown, but for the audience. Something that the audience didn't expect. You need surprise. You need a blow, which can either be being hit in the face with a board, falling over a bicycle, sliding along a table, being hit in the face. Any of those things are all a blow. And you need a blow-off, which is a way to get all the characters out of the ring quickly. You can't black out in the circus. So this is important. So we need characters, setup, stupidity, trickery, surprise, blow, and a blow-off. There are seven things needed for a good clown gag. Well, we had to take notes on these. I took down the notes, and I went home, and I worked up a gag that I then submitted to Bill Ballantyne, who was in charge of putting in gags in the Ringling show, and said that I'd like to do this, and I was willing to. For the characters, I had a friend of mine named Steve Linsner, who worked under the name of Captain Rainbow, who did a whiteface clown, and myself was doing the Auguste clown, the one to take the blow. Now, the way this started was this is the setup. I walked into the ring, looked at the crowd, waved, and went, whoa! And then Steve drove in a tractor trailer, semi, 18-wheeler, and jumped out of the cab and said, hey, Penn, come on over here and lie underneath the wheels of this Mack truck. I said, what do you mean? He said, no, just tie this rope around your feet and lie under the wheels of the truck. I said, yes. Stupidity. So far, we've covered setup and stupidity. Now, the trickery is, while I was under the wheels of the truck, he climbed into the cab and started it up. Now, the surprise comes, this has to be a surprise for the audience, the surprise comes where there's no joke, he simply runs over me in an 18-wheel truck, and this is also the blow, incidentally, being run over by a truck. Now, the blow-off was a little trickier, which because you have a body that's crushed, and the thing to my feet was hooked to a reel in the back of the theater, and the entrails of myself in clown makeup were pulled over the audience and back up into where the trapeze was.
out of the way. The trapeze act was all over, and the truck was driven off quickly, the blow-off. The clowns are off comfortably. So with my Mack truck gag, I covered the characterization, the setup, the introduction driving out, the stupidity of lying down under a truck, the trickery of starting up the truck, the surprise of actually running over a human being in the ring, the blow of a clown being run over, and the blow-off of entrails flying across the audience in a truck driving out. I typed this up, submitted it to Bill Ballantyne, and he said that it wasn't suitable for the Ringling Brothers Barn and Bailey show. That's Last Train to Waterloo in the background in one of my Clown College anecdotes. Anecdotes. Geez, I wish you had that in quad. You know, I was telling that story, and I was had a little tab in my hand and a little nut cup and a cheap hamburger, and I really felt like I was riding the train. But those days are gone by. The next thing we're going to hear is something that Asparagus Valley Cultural Society fans will be especially interested in. The encore in our show, which we've done two or three times, is a thing called The Last Kiss. We do a version of it. A lot of people thought that we wrote it. Fans of old cheap rock and roll music will know different. In 1957, it was released by J. Frank Wilson and the Cavaliers, a band out of Texas. It was then covered by a Canadian band, but that's not important. This is the 1957 version, J. Frank Wilson and the Cavaliers, with a great rock and roll song, The Last Kiss.
Well, where, oh, where can my baby be? The Lord took her away from me. She's gone to heaven, so I got to be good, so I can see my baby when I leave this world. We were out on a date in my daddy's car. We hadn't driven very far. There in the road, straight ahead, the car was stalled, the engine was dead. I couldn't stop, so I swerved to the right. I'll never forget the sound that night. The crying tires, the busting glass, the painful scream that I heard last. Well, where, oh, where can my baby be? The Lord took her away from me. She's gone to heaven, so I got to be good, so I can see my baby when I leave this world. Well, when I woke up, the rain was pouring down. There were people standing all around. Something warm running in my eyes. But I found my baby somehow that night. I raised her head and then she smiled and said, hold me, darling, for a little while. I held her close, I kissed her our last kiss. I found the love that I knew I would miss. But now she's gone, even though I hold her tight, I lost my love, my light, that night. Well, where, oh, where can my baby be? The Lord took her away from me. She's gone to heaven, so I got to be good, so I can see my baby when I leave this world.
One of the truly great songs of rock and roll.
It was copied a lot of times with Teen Angel and all those sex and death songs, rock and roll.
Something cold running in my eyes. Something warm running in my eyes.
Yeah, that's the line I really enjoy singing in the show. But I don't pretend to touch J. Frank in the show, but that is our encore when we do it. Weir does do the background vocal harmony, too.
Down coming.
Sorry.
Let me just remind everyone that this is New Year's Day, and my guests are the Asparagus Valley Cultural Society, which is Penn Jillette, who we've been hearing from. That was his record that we just heard. And Weir Krismer, the musician, musicologist of the group, and Teller the Magician, who's going to be doing some magic tricks that you can't see. a little later on the show. Well, we're you know, we're relying on you to supply the good taste for this afternoon.
Okay, we'll have some of that and a little bit of the other stuff a little bit later on. What I have now are two recordings of pre-classical music performed on original instruments. The first is the overture to Monteverdi's opera L'Orfeo, performed by the Concentus Musicus of Vienna, directed by Nicholas Harnoncourt. Monteverdi's L'Orfeo overture. Next, we have a piece of Handel, the overture to the music for the Royal Fireworks. This was written about 100 years later, something like that, 50 years later. From this recording, one can come to one of two conclusions. Either instrumental technique deteriorated tremendously during the 50 years in the interim, or else these people can't play original instruments worth a darn. This is the Telemann Society Orchestra and Band, not necessarily in that order, conducted by Richard Schulze. Well, wasn't that something? Needless to say, that was my record, as Mark Artecki said. I have all the hits. Now a little story, poem to boost your New Year's spirits after that. We have Teller.
Mr. and Mrs. Discobolus climbed to the top of a wall, and they sate to watch the sunset sky and to hear the Nupeter Pifkin cry and the biscuit buffalo call. They took up a roll and some chamomile tea, and both were as happy could be, till Mrs. Discobolus said,
"Oh, WXYZ, it has just come into my head. Suppose we should happen to fall, darling Mr. Discobolus? Suppose we should fall down flumpety, just like pieces of stone, onto the thorns or into the moat. What would become of your new green coat, and might you not break a bone? It never occurred to me before that perhaps we shall never get down any more." And Mrs. Discobolus said, "Oh, WXYZ, what put it into your head to climb up this wall, my own darling Mr. Discobolus?"
Mr. Discobolus answered, "At first it gave me pain, and I felt my ears turn perfectly pink when your exclamation made me think we might never get down again. But now I believe it is wiser far to remain forever just where we are." And Mr. Discobolus said, "Oh, WXYZ, it has just come into my head. We shall never go down again, dearest Mrs. Discobolus." So Mr. and Mrs. Discobolus stood up and began to sing. "Far away from hurry and strife, here we will pass the rest of our life. Ding-a-dong, ding-a-dong, ding. We want no knives, nor forks, nor chairs, nor tables, nor carpets, nor household cares. From worry of life we fled. Oh, WXYZ, there is no more trouble ahead. Sorrow or any such thing for Mr. and Mrs. Discobolus." Discobolus lived on top of the wall for 20 years, a month, and a day, till their hair had grown all pearly gray and their teeth began to fall. They were never ill or at all dejected, by all admired and by some respected, till Mrs. Discobolus said,
"Oh, WXYZ, it has just come into my head. We have no more room at all, darling Mr. Discobolus. Look at our 6 fine boys and our 6 sweet girls so fair. Upon this wall they have all been born, and not one of the 12 has happened to fall through my maternal care. Surely they should not pass their lives without any chances of husbands or wives." And Mrs. Discobolus said, "Oh, WXYZ, did it never come into your head that our lives must be lived elsewhere, dearest Mr. Discobolus? They have never been to a ball, nor have ever seen a bazaar, nor have heard folks say in a tone all hearty, 'What loves of girls at a garden party those Mrs. Discobolus are!' Morning and night it drives me wild to think of the fate of each darling child." But Mr. Discobolus said, "Oh, WXYZ, what has come to your fiddle-dumb head? What a runcible goose you are, octopod Mrs. Discobolus!" Suddenly, Mr. Discobolus slid from the top of the wall, and beneath it he dug a fearful trench and filled it with dynamite. Gunpowder Gench and aloud began to call, "Let the wild bee sing and the bluebird hum, for the end of your lives has certainly come." And Mrs. Discobolus said, Oh, WXYZ, we shall presently all be dead on this ancient runcible wall. Terrible, Mr. Discobolus.
Pensively, Mr. Discobolus sat with his back to the wall. He lighted a match and fired the train, and the mortified mountain echoed again to the sound of an awful fall. And all the Discobolus family flew in thousands of bits to the sky so blue. And no one was left to have said, OWXYZ, has it come into anyone's head that the end has happened to all of the whole of the clan Discobolus?
The owl and the pussycat went to sea in a beautiful pea green boat. They took some honey and plenty of money wrapped up in a 5-pound note. The owl looked up to the stars above and sang to a small guitar. Oh, lovely pussy, oh, pussy, my love, what a beautiful pussy you are. You are, you are, what a beautiful pussy you are. Pussy said to the owl, you elegant fowl, how charmingly sweet you sing. Oh, let us be married, too long we have tarried, but what shall we do for a ring? They sailed away for a year and a day to the land where the palm tree grows, and there in a wood a piggy wig stood with the ring at the end of his nose. His nose, his nose, with a ring at the end of his nose. Dear pig, are you willing to sell for 1 shilling your ring? Said the piggy, I will. So they took it away and were married next day by the turkey who lives on the hill. They dined on mince and slices of quince, which they ate with a runcible spoon. And hand in hand on the edge of the sand, they danced by the light of the moon. The moon, the moon, they danced by the light of the moon.
We heard first Teller reading Mr. and Mrs. Discobolus by Edward Lear, and we just heard The Owl and the Pussycat, also words by Edward Lear, with music by Igor Stravinsky, and we heard Adrian Albert, soprano, and Robert Kraft accompanying her at the piano. Well, Happy New Year. This is Fresh Air, and you're listening to WUHY-FM in Philadelphia. It's 2:45 now. Joining us on Fresh Air throughout the afternoon today are the members of the Asparagus Valley Cultural Society, which includes Teller the Magician, who just read us the Mr. and Mrs. Discobolus, and Penn Jillette, the juggler and punk of the group, who's brought in the mostly really trashy kind of things that we're hearing throughout the course of the afternoon.
I didn't come here to be insulted. I can stay home with Weir and be insulted. This trash.
I thought I'd made that clear, Ken. We've got that all straightened out.
I did come here to be insulted. Okay. I'm sorry, I misunderstood.
Also with us is Weir Krissimer, who's the musician and musicologist and arranger of the group, and he's the highbrow who's bringing all the, tasteful things this afternoon. Well, actually, what you have with you next, Pan,
this is great stuff. This is not any more train noises or anything like that. I'm from Western Massachusetts, and my mother is from there, and she has a little bit of a New England accent, and I grew up hearing lots of stories. A lot of my family are rural type people, and there's a record out that probably everybody's heard of, Bert and I and Other Stories from Down East, which is a record of Maine humor that are true stories done by Marshall Dodge and Bob Bryan, and This is one of the cuts off that record in good New England style, but more specifically Maine style, and this is entitled The Lighter Than Air Balloon.
I was a spectator up to the Skowhegan Fair last summer. They had stock car racing, diving from the high platform, and teams of horses pulling against each other. Every summer, they've got a feature attraction. Years ago, they'd had William Jennings Bryan up to re-give his Cross of Gold speech. This year, the feature was the releasing of a lighter-than-air balloon at 12 o'clock on the last day of the fair. Howard Perkins and I won the raffle to take her up. After a few words of instruction, we climbed into the gondola, cut the mooring lines, and we were out of sight in about 4 minutes. We were over the ocean in an hour when the wind veered north and took us back over land. So we let some of the gas out and come down to see where we were. Saw a farmer plowing in the field, so I leaned over and cried out, "Where are we?"
"You're no balloon, you damn fool."
No, that was at the end? I don't think it was.
So professional.
Oh, it's okay.
It's kind of hard. It's New England humor, you know. It's
we didn't have the thing on in here, so I didn't hear the end. But that was Bert and I, and other stories from down east, the lighter than air balloon. And a lot of people don't know that Bert and I are not people from New England or New Englanders. They are two guys from New York City who went to college up there and got into the humor and have been very much adopted. As a New Englander, I can say that Marshall Dodge has a show on public TV up there and does these stories all the time that he picks up.
Yeah, I should mention, Penn, that we on the show about a year, maybe a year and a half ago, had an hour of stories told by Marshall Dodge. So if you heard that show, it's the same person, because I'll tell you that we still get phone calls here about
He's wonderful. And he does shows, as far as I know, still weekly out of Maine. And I think it's wonderful that someone that came from out of state got adopted as the official spokesman for the culture there. That's one of the more accessible bits on the album. There are some of the stuff there that's real New England humor.
We'll be hearing some more a little.
They disguise the punchline. Maybe the next thing we play, I'll find something that's very hard to get. A little challenge, someone to call up and explain the joke or something. But the next thing is another one of Crazy Penn's records, and this is one of my real faves. I usually play this usually to impress people when they come over to the house during dinner. This is a Folkways record, and it's entitled Music Used in Many Popular Television Commercials. Now, I've been told by Terry that I have to be very careful not to say brand names. This is not a commercial that you're going to hear. This is music composed and performed by studio musicians to be used in a television commercial. You will not even hear the exact same music you actually heard in the commercial. You will hear the 3-minute and 10-second version. This is to say all the music composed by this guy for this certain company and then played behind a car ad. Some of you may recognize it, but you don't know the title, because you only know it by the brand name. The title, which was actually done by Kay Salmon, who wrote it, is Theme for Two Lovers. This is music used in many popular television commercials, a Folkways record.
Thank you.
No. That was a music used in many television commercials. That was a car commercial, and the person, as I was saying to you, wrote that whole piece, 3 minutes and 10 seconds, and I think they used, you know, 20 seconds, 25 seconds in the actual ad. I don't know what 25 seconds it was, we would have queued that up, but that's the entire piece that many people have probably nobody's heard except me.
And it was music for a car commercial. You know, Penn, I'm really delighted to find out that we actually have very similar tastes in music. I've brought with me today an album that I use very frequently. You know, some music you just use to, you know, enjoy yourself, relax, listen to stereo, but some things are very useful. It kind of puts you in the proper frame of mind to do what needs to be done, as does the music on this album, which is called Music to Make Housework Easier. I think it's probably fairly rare, at least in this part of the country. I should mention this is an Italian import. We're going to hear the Sinfonia di Milano under the direction of William Gunther. Now, there are a number of pieces. It was actually very difficult for me to choose what I wanted to play from this import record. There's pieces like Old Spices and Aprons Away, Perky Percolator. I've chosen Pancake Parade. Perhaps this was not the best choice because they're all so good, but it will give you a sense of the music. And just as the commissioned piece that we just heard, this too is a commission. This record was commissioned from leading composers of radio and television fame for this brand new collection of melodies. I'd love to describe for you the cover, because I think it will help you capture the spirit in which this album was recorded. On this cover of Music to Make Housework Easier is a woman who's wearing a bright Kelly green sheath skirt and a green and blue floral pattern button-down shirt. Seated above the work area of her dinette section, which is the stove and the sink and the, you know, the workspace, she's above the workspace with her high-heeled shoes kicked off, seated right in front of the ironing board with iron, and is lighting a cigarette, because this is the relaxation part. But if you have a lot of housework to catch up on after your New Year's Day party or something, I think you'll find this music very useful for you. Okay, this is Pancake Parade. I don't know. I think it was really rude for all you fellows to be talking while that was on. Sorry. I didn't talk while your music was on.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
I'm awfully sorry.
Well, if you're interested in other music, you know, Music to Make Housework Easier, which is an import, has another series of records that are in the similar vein, like Cocktail Hour in Moscow, which is really my favorite.
I have that one.
There's one here that's probably really an embarrassment to the company. It's called Songs of the Guyana Jungle. I don't think they'd be selling too much of that one now, yeah. Okay, well, this is the... This is Fresh Air, and you're listening to WUHY-FM in Philadelphia. It's 2 minutes to three. Happy New Year to those of you just joining us. I'm in the studio with the members of the Asparagus Valley Cultural Society, a group that does magic, music, and juggling. And today they're here with some of their favorite records, records in good taste and bad. And a little later, Teller will be doing some magic tricks. We're going to hear some of his original music. Coming up, we have the part where both you and Penn get the opportunity to kind of show your stuff. This is the film portion of today's show. Everybody's, you know, busy, being that it's the turn of the year, compiling their best of, worst of lists. And that's about what we're come to now. And in a couple of minutes on Fresh Air, we're going to be opening up the phone lines for two reasons. One is for you to give any of the films that you thought were the best films or the worst films of 1978. Now, in keeping with this, Penn has committed to memory a complete list of every movie that he's seen in 1978. Now, when we open up the phone lines, in addition to wanting to hear your best and worst movies of 1978, we're going to also dare you to name a film that you saw during that year in a movie theater.
It has to be in a movie theater, and also it has to be American release because the foreign films are too hard to see, general release. And I only see GP, is it PG? PG and R movies. I don't bother with the G and X's, although on this list that I've memorized, I have the G and X movies that I've seen. This is all the movies that I've seen.
Okay, so the thing is, when the phone lines are open, make a note of what Penn's mentioning, and anything that you've seen that he hasn't mentioned, okay, you get it, because he dares you to
right.
Name
there are a few
seen.
That I haven't seen, but
don't tell
and
us
I know
what
that
they
I'm
are.
Not going to tell you what they are. And here's a list of more or less what I've seen. Heroes, Julia, First Love, Equus, Starship Invasions, Close Encounters of the Third Kind, Barbarella, The Gauntlet, Telephone, The Choir Boys, Semi-Tough, The World's Greatest Lover, The Goodbye Girl, Saturday Night Fever, High Anxiety, Outrageous, Damnation Alley, The Late Great Planet Earth, 20th Century Oz, The One and Only, Coma, The Turning Point, Ronaldo and Clara, The Boys of Company C, The Betsy, The Harvey Girls, Meet Me in St. Louis, Beyond and Back, The Other Side of the Mountain Part 2, Blue Collar, American Hot Wax, Straight Time, An Unmarried Woman, Rabbit Test, Casey's Shadow, The Big Sleep, The Fury, House Call, Savage Messiah, Mean Street, Short Eyes, The Medusa Touch, The Devil's Reign, Virgin Witch, Pretty Baby, Coming Home, Silver Bears, The Chosen, The Time Machine, Ski Hustler, More Than a Voyeur, Foreign Correspondence, The Man Who Knew Too Much, Think Dirty, Fist, The Obscure Object of Desire, I Want to Hold Your Hands, The Last Waltz, The Greek Tycoon, The Love Couch, Teenage Fantasies, The End, Thank God It's Friday, Fantasia, Capricorn 1, American Graffiti, Omen Part 2, Damien, The Punk Rock Movie from England, It Lives Again, Jaws 2, A Different Story, Grease, Heaven Can Wait, The Cheap Detective, The Swarm, Hooper, The Driver, Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band, The Revenge of the Pink Panther, Teenage Nurses, Every Inch a Lady, Animal House, The Eyes of Laura Mars, Secrets, Foul Play, Big Wednesday, International Velvet, Psycho, The Buddy Holly Story, That's the Way It Was, The Elvis Movie, Speedway, The Evil, Piranha, Point of Terror, The Bad News Bears, Go to Japan, Inside Jennifer Wells, Backdoor Baby, Box Ball, Who'll Stop the Rain, Tarzoon, Shame of the Jungle, If Ever I See You Again, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, Convoy, Avalanche, real winner there, Almost Summer, A Wedding, Dirty Harry, Magnum Force, Interiors, Death on the Nile, Blood Brothers, Somebody Killed Her Husband, Up in Smoke, Who's Killing the Great Chefs of Europe, Going South, The Big Fix, The Boys from Brazil, Watership Down, Yuck, Midnight Express, Martin, Comes the Horseman, The Inheritance, Liz, The Story of Oh, The Devil and Miss Jones, Paradise Alley, Magic, Message from Space, The Wild Geese, Fantasex, Sweet Agony, Disco Dolls, and Hot Skin, that was a 3D, Lord of the Rings, The Wiz, Superman, Oliver's Story, Every Which Way But Loose, King of the Gypsies, Moment by Moment, The Invasion of the Body Snatchers, and California Suite. Now that's just this year. There's some other ones I saw the year before, and there are some that I realized have been released in the past week, and we've been putting the show together for The Walnut, and I haven't seen those. But any that have come out more near the middle of the year that are rated PG or R that you think I haven't seen, American release, well, call up.
You saw Ronaldo and Clara?
Yes, I saw Ronaldo.
4-hour version?
The 4-hour version I saw in New York City the week and a half it was open in the Village before Bobby
Amazing.
Cut it.
Okay, now it's about time for you to go to your phones. And remember, there's two things here. One is to, now you don't have to be able to do this in order to call, because we also want to hear what you thought was the best and the worst movies of 1978. But if you've seen a movie during 1978 that Penn has not mentioned that was either PG or R, and we want to hear it because Penn dares you to say it. Our number is 387-6661. That's 387-6661, and we're at area code 215. You can start calling now. Okay, we start going to the phones. We're at 387-6661. Hi, this is Fresh Air, and you're on the air.
I just wanted to say, I think one of the worst movies I saw this year was Grease. And I just saw a movie